The New Testament reading comes out of the book of Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. So, brothers and sisters, I cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for solid food. And even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and the other says, well, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through which you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one that waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose. And each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Many parents and uncles and aunts and babysitters, if you push them, will admit that they have dabbled in a bit of a taste of baby food. Now, sheepishly, they'll admit that there's been a time when they thought no one was looking, that they took a taste of what was being fed to the young ones. And the reports are not too surprising. Pureed fruits, not so bad. Pureed vegetables like spinach, not so good. And sometimes they understand why the child refuses to eat even when they do that train thing. They're just not going to eat that spinach. Well, I was rather surprised to discover that there are a number of adults who choose to eat baby food and there are no children in the house. See, some people eat baby food because it's easy. You just open it up and it's nutritious. There you go. Others report to eat baby food because it's kind of a comfort thing. But most of the reports I read talked about adults eating baby food because it was a diet fad called the baby food diet. You know, really, I'm not making this stuff up. There was a couple of years ago an internet phenomenon, rumor that started by a celebrity trainer named Tracy Anderson. It was a gimmick that you could cut calories and control portions by eating baby food. So they would recommend either like supplementing baby food for one or two meals, or there were some of the diets that said just eat 14 to 20 food, 20 cans or bottles of baby food a day and you'll lose weight. Ooh, yay. Well, there was some discussion about if this was healthy or not, and doctors and medical people looked at it and they found, well, it really didn't cause medical problems, but it wasn't a really good plan for weight loss. I mean, your body needs the substance and fiber of whole foods. And one of the critiques about pureed food diets is it's simply boring. And baby food is not made for adults. It's made for children, not for the nutritious needs of grown-ups. It's for the beginning of life and not for grown-up life. It's supposed to be early on and then you leave it. I think the Corinthian community was kind of stuck on the baby food diet. They were rather frozen in the infant stage of faith development, and Paul wants them to grow up. He wants them to gain a more developed palate, as we San Franciscans would say. I mean, I will confess, though, when I read this passage first, I kind of digested it quickly and dismissed it without really understanding or savoring the words. I read, "So brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food." I read these words of Paul that he wrote in a letter to Corinthians. This is an early church group, an early group that started, and it was a group that he birthed, so to say. And when I heard those words, I heard an impatient parent saying, "Stop being babies. Grow up, why don't you?" And I heard with that, "You are still of the flesh," I heard just a dash of guilt going into that message. But Paul isn't really about guilt and chastising in this passage. He's coming to the Corinthians out of a place of love. I mean, he calls them brothers and sisters, family. He says, "I fed you, not out of little glass jars that we twisted open, but I fed you with the milk of a nursing mother." See, Paul is speaking to them in tone of a loving parent, of a mother. He says, "I gave you mother's milk, food that has everything a child needs to start a good, strong life. It had nutrients in it and antibodies. It was laying a good base for your health when you grow up." See, Paul gave them the best foundation and the best start in faith he could. And through his care and through his words, those people came to know that they were God's beloved, that God's love and grace and forgiveness was for them, that they came to know God through Jesus Christ, and it changed them and gave them a whole new identity, a whole new life. And all this baby feeding came in the expectation that they would grow in faith, that they would take a few baby steps at a time and learn to walk on their own when he was gone. And they would learn to walk and follow in the ways of Jesus. And surely they would fall down and they would be clumsy at first, but they just needed to start moving. And yet the Corinthians, they weren't growing. They were stuck in this infant phase. And Paul seems to be saying, "Hey guys, it's time for you to start eating solid food. It's time for you to start acting like your faith, this good news, will affect the way that you act." He says, even if you're still not ready, it's time. You are acting like you're still of the flesh. For how long? For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are behaving in human inclinations. Now, here's where it gets tricky. I heard Paul saying you were still of the flesh, and I thought, oh goodness, Paul's going to give another lecture about how the body is bad, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what's really interesting here is the word "being made of flesh" is not a rebuke. This is really different than some of his other places. He's not saying it's a bad thing. He's saying human nature, who we are as human beings, I mean, we are made of flesh, but we're not supposed to just stay that way. It's more like our early self had been dominated just by all our own needs and all about me, and he wants them to take on the sense that they are children of God, that they're going to grow in faith, and they have to claim and take hold of their created nature by God. I mean, loosely taking, he's saying, start acting like you're God's beloved as followers in Christ, because they're not acting like that at all. He is saying, you've got all this baby fat on you, and you still look like a baby, and I want you to be walking. It's like it made no difference in their lives. Richard Hayes put it this way: being of flesh doesn't mean living in lust and sexual sin. No, Paul, it says flesh means living in rivalry and disunity in the church. That's what he says living in the flesh is that you're arguing with each other and you're acting like you're not children of God. You're not acting in a good way. He said, how did you get that way? I gave you all this really good food and grew you, and it doesn't look like it made a bit of difference. You must start changing your life, your actions and your behaviors. Your words and your actions must reflect that you're one of my children. You're supposed to have a new identity. Get that baby fat off you and grow up. No, those Corinthians are bickering about unimportant things. They're saying, well, I had the best teacher. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm at Old First Presbyterian Church. No, I'm at St. Luke's. I'm at Calvary. I'm the best. He said, really? Get over yourselves. You're supposed to be of God. I'm measuring spiritual growth, and your maturity is lacking. If you were mature, there would be unity and peace in the community. That's what he is longing for. And it's hard to do. I want to own that. He says, you're supposed to be about taking on the mind of Christ, to see that the other's way has worth, to maybe admit that your idea is not always the best, that our way might not be the only way. We're supposed to seek the way of God. See, Paul, he lovingly hopes that they will grow, that they will make progress, that they will start walking on their own. He wants them to move out of the babyhood into childhood, eventually into adulthood. And I'm caught by, he has hope for them. He has hope for their future, and he wants them to claim it. See, I'm caught that this staying kind of frozen in childhood is not that unfamiliar to us. I'm caught by, we have children that can be 25 and 30. One blogger put it this way. On the Dr. Phil show recently, they featured a young man who would not grow up and go out on his own. He was quite comfortable allowing his mother to take care of his every need. The remarkable aspect about this situation is the young man's unabashed attitude about living off of his parents. He thought it was just fine. And that situation may not be as rare as we think it is. The writer said, when I was grown up, I realized there was a man next door who lived with his mother his whole life. And what was remarkable to me is how irresponsible he was, even at an early age and as a grown-up man. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about this. How do we have our children, much less our adults, grow up? And one of the ways to have children and adults grow up is there are expectations set for them. You know, the expectations could be, when you're little, I expect you to take your plate off the table and put it in the dishwasher. I expect you to pick up your clothes off the floor. I expect you to do your homework. I expect that you will go to college or learn a trade. I expect that you will learn to live on your own and love on your own. I expect that you will become independent, and in that independence, you will care for yourself and for others. Parents don't always like to do that. We don't want the children to fail. We don't want them to hurt. Oh no, you got a C on a paper? Well, maybe the child deserved a C on the paper. You know, you have to learn to play piano like that, you have to practice a lot. I'll tell you a secret. I am learning to play the recorder 4 notes. And the only way I know to get my cats off of my bed is I play the recorder. I would say you that I'm getting better. Well, I'm getting better than when I knew 2 notes. You see, I'm going to have to practice at that. I believe there may be a future for me. Now, if I stop practicing, guess what will happen? Those 4 notes will get worse and worse. It's supposed to practice and develop and grow in some way. I mean, there's expectations that are set. Just reading about a family that tried to set expectations for their children. And what they did is they made a ceremony where they broke a plate and reminded them, the children, that they were going into young adulthood. So they broke a plate, and that that breaking the plate remind them that they would not always be eating at the parents' house. It reminded them that there was a demarcation notice between childhood and young adulthood. It reminded them that they would need to learn to put things on their own plate. They broke it and said, go into the future. See, the children grew up with an expectation of developing in life. It's an interesting idea. See, Paul was setting out expectations for the Corinthians that their lives would start looking like the one they followed, that they wouldn't just get together once a week and be all nice and sweet on that 1 or 2 hours a week and then go from that place and start arguing with each other. No, he wants a whole life thing. He says you're quarreling and you're jealous, and that shows you have not learned a thing. You're supposed to be God's building. You're supposed to be God's house. You have to have a foundation, and you are just not ready. I mean, what I find interesting here is what he's saying is you are a work in progress. You're under construction, but you got to start moving some. You're not supposed to be frozen in place. You're like in this arrested development, and you still have growing to do. And the truth is, we're supposed to grow your whole life long. Taught that when I talk about faith, or when young people talk about faith to friends, they get, oh, I don't want to be a Christian. They're a bunch of hypocrites. It's like, really? Well, yes, we are. What else is new? But I wonder if that criticism with being a hypocrite, they say, well, look, you're supposed to be about peace, and look at all the wars. You're supposed to feed the people, and yet you're not sharing everything you have. You're a Christian? Well, I've seen you when a car cut you off. Or someone took your seat on the bus, it wasn't pretty. Really? Are you supposed to act like that? Well, the answer is no. But when I hear the word hypocrite, I also want to say, really? We're also not supposed to be perfect. And I wonder if the people that say Christians or people of faith are hypocrites think that it's supposed to happen all at once and you're changed instantly. Well, okay, you know me, you know that ain't true. I know you, and that isn't true either. To say we're on this journey together. I mean, I think you in the pews, you are really trying to take your Christian faith seriously, and you hope that it will make a difference in your lives. I mean, really, there is no other reason for you being in church today. Each of you has and is a story that is yet to be written, and that's the amazing thing. I mean, it's true. We get a little comfortable with baby food. It's nice to come here an hour a week and think that is just plenty. But no, we're supposed to be growing up. We're supposed to be people of faith. We're supposed to be taking those little steps. And sometimes we fall. I mean, there's the truth. You and myself in this congregation, we're at different levels. Sometimes we're following after Christ, and sometimes we're not. Sometimes we need to be helped to be picked up. But we have to move forward. And we have our own breaking ceremony. We don't break a plate in this church. We break bread. We break the bread at this communion meal and say, Christ be with me. Christ grow me strong. Use this bread, use this wine to give me nourishment. And in that breaking of the bread, there's hope. There's hope that we will be more than we are right now. The hope is that we can claim being God's beloved. The hope is that we will start walking strong and leading each other's. Come on, let's give up that baby food. Let's start taking on the real work and food and life of Christ and make a difference in this place. But make a difference all around us. For people are hungry, and all can be fed. May it be so.